Still going to get warmer again towards the weekend. Welcome everybody to our service this morning. There's not really a lot of notices this morning apart from you've already seen them over there. They had the games day yesterday, but we haven't found out what the results for what they've taken or whatever, but apparently they've done very, very well. So let's welcome Alan to lead us in our service.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here. We'll try and warm things up a little bit. For our call to worship, we're going to be reading from one of the psalms in Singing the Faith, Psalm 30. Psalm 30 is a psalm of David. It forms a dual function. One is thanksgiving for recovery from A grave illness. Sorry, it's twisting. It's not. But it's also a psalm of dedication of the new temple that was built. So we will say responsively the Psalm 30, and if you can read the words in the bold type. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have raised me up. Let me have those triumph over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you have healed me. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing to the Lord, you servants of his, give thanks to his holy name. For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favour for a lifetime.
Heavens may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning.
In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Then you hid your face from me. To you, O Lord, I cried.
To the Lord I made my supplications.
What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit?
For the dust praise you, or declare your faithfulness.
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. You have turned my mourning into dancing. Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing.
O Lord my God, I will give you thanks for that.
We shall join in that praise together as we sing from Singing the Faith 470, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Pardoned and provided, Lord of the years, we
Because it ties in with the theme of the lectionary readings today. You might not realise it, but that was a hymn of testimony. And the readings today are to do with testimony. Let us come before the throne of grace in prayer. Let us all pray. Let the name of the Lord be praised from this time forward forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. As we come together to worship you, O God, open our eyes that we may see your glory. Open our ears that we may hear what you have to say to us. Open our hearts that we may be filled with your love. And open our mouths that we may praise you with joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, by the power of your word, you brought the universe into being from nothing. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you created life and made us in your image. When we had marred that image, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to remake us in your likeness. And you sent your Holy Spirit to fill us with love and power, that we might go out into the world in your name and proclaim the gospel to all people. With all your people in every time and place, and with all the company of heaven, we give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And shall we say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, of ever and ever. Amen. Our epistle reading is from Galatians chapter 6, and be read by David.
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason for this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God.
I was brought up in the Baptist Church, and I worshipped at a little chapel in Southampton, Millbrook Baptist Church, from about the age of five when I first went to Sunday school till I left Southampton to find my way in the world and work when I was 19. One of the things about growing up in a Baptist church in the 1950s and 60s was the importance of testimony to worship. I heard testimonies from people like, would you believe, John Arlott, who was a member of the Baptist Church down in Hampshire. I had a great feeling for him, listening to him on Test Match Special. Had a special thing about John Arlott, because he spoke like I spoke. I heard many testimonies about what God had done for them, how their lives had been changed by accepting Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Many of these testimonies could be overdramatic, but the moving ones were those that were said quietly, or in the words of Paul in that letter to the Galatians, not being boastful. They were told in simple language. They spoke of change and renewal. They gave witness to the reality of faith and its power within people's lives. When Princess Margaret died, there was a relatively simple funeral in St. George's Chapel at Windsor, followed by a cremation at the local crematorium. She left their specific instructions about her funeral service. The service included the choice of hymns. In particular, one of those was "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." In particular, she was very moved by the final verse, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Such was the faith of Princess Margaret. To choose a hymn for such an occasion is about bearing witness, giving testimony to what is counted as truly and ultimately important in that person's life. Certainly it's very different from the testimonies that I heard as I was growing up in a little Baptist church. But they have essentially the same basis. Giving witness, telling of God's goodness and his work within people's lives. It seems to me today that the two lectionary readings that we're hearing today is about bearing witness. It's about giving testimony. They speak of the wonder of God, what God does through people and in people. Galatians 6, verse 14 says, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." There is nothing else that can count as important except what has been achieved by the death of Christ on the cross. Paul was probably being very realistic about his flaws. In fact, in other letters that he wrote, he was very realistic about his flaws. But he was also aware of the strength that he had obtained in his life through his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But his testimony at the end of the letter to the Galatians is all about God. Whatever Paul achieved in his life was ultimately due and entirely due to God and his work through Jesus. He says, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." What a marvelous testimony that is to the work of Christ. The next reading is even more interesting. Our next hymn is one of Wesley's. You know, I like Wesley's hymns. Not as much as Isaac Watts, but I like Wesley's hymns. "My heart is full of Christ and longs its glorious matter to declare. Of him I make my loftiest songs. I cannot from his praise forbear." Another testimony.
Dude.
the alternative collect for today is quite appropriate, bearing in mind what's been up on the screen before the service began, because we are asked to pray for and think about the victims of the 7/7 bombings 20 years ago. And there's a service of remembrance in London today at which one of our church members is present. Yesterday, and I can't remember what program it was on, it might have been on breakfast, I think it was probably on breakfast, there was a fire officer who was on. It was breakfast, wasn't it? Yes, it was. You know what I'm talking about. He was just an ordinary fireman I assume that he was one of the first to be involved in the rescue of people from the underground train at Aldgate Station. And 20 years on, he was now a district commander. He'd risen up through the ranks, and he told us what it was like in that situation. And very often we forget about the people who were rescued who had the trauma also of dealing with the living and the dead. And he said, and I found it quite moving, that when he came out of Aldgate Station, a lady came up to him and thanked him for being so caring and compassionate with her mother, who had died in the bombing. And as he said, we're public servants and we treat everybody, living or dead, with care and compassion. I ask you to think in your prayers about not only the victims of that bombing, but also those who were left behind, but also the members of the ambulance service, the fire brigades, and the police who had to deal with traumatic circumstances in very difficult situations, whether it was underground in Aldgate Station, or whether it was in a bus where the roof was torn off and whatever, and the people all around. Please pray for them as we will be thinking about them during our prayers later on. But this alternative collect, it happens to be the one for today. Lord God, we see evil executed on a large and devastating scale. Those who have take even more. Those with little forfeit even the little amount they possess. Hear their cry and give ear to our prayers. Train our hearts that we may sense the pain of the poor and respond to their plight. May we see how riches blind us to your kingdom around us, the kingdom uniquely expressed in the unexpected, the rejected, the outcast. Amen. And a prayer of confession. Gracious God, we confess with shame our reluctance to obey you when you have wanted us to go somewhere and we have stayed where we were, when you wanted us to speak for you and we have been silent, when you have wanted us to reach out in friendship and we have turned our backs. Forgive us for the many ways in which we have grieved you. In Christ's name, we ask it. Amen. And our gospel reading is from Luke 10. And it's about the commissioning of the 70 to go out into the world and what happened when they came back.
A reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, followed by verses 16 to 20. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' Amen."
The heirs of the kingdom shall answer his call, and all things cry glory to God all in all. The final part of our next hymn, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy."
Kingdom of joy is given, all we have they are not enough.
Jesus gave instructions to, it's either 70 or 72, nobody's quite sure, to go out into the world. And what was the main instruction that he gave them? Take nothing with you. Right, what have you got in your pockets or in your handbags at this moment in time? Money? Oh, you've got nothing. Aren't you the lucky one? Who's got a mobile phone in their pocket? No use taking your mobile phone because there's no signal. So leave it behind. Credit card?
Yes.
No good at all. Don't have banks. So leave that behind. Travel insurance?
Not to come to church.
Suitcase. You're going on a journey. Suitcase. Who would think of going on a journey without, you know, going to Mallorca or Australia, wherever, without a suitcase? Or your name is Jack Reacher. I'm a fan of Jack Reacher's Lee Child's books about Jack Reacher. And all he carried with him was some money. He had a card and a fold-up toothbrush. And that was it. And the clothes he stood up in. Jesus told them to go with nothing. Not even sandals on their feet. Who's wearing high heels? I saw when I come in, they wouldn't be any good because it's rough roads and high heels, you know, it's a bit dodgy, you know, on your ankles. So you wear flat shoes, or you don't, as Jesus in Luke said, take no sandals. There are some people that, when they go on a journey, take some weird and wonderful things in their suitcase. Who's seen the Heinz advert? Oh, brilliant. You know, I've heard of taking in a couple of cans or a jar of Marmite, because you can't get Marmite in Spain. What do we take on holiday that we don't need? I certainly take books. Well, at least, yes, I take books. Jean takes her Kindle because she's got the books on the Kindle. Otherwise, it's just clothes. But, there are people who go abroad in the name of Jesus. Mission partners today. Think nothing of going on a 3-year stint somewhere. Taking three years of toiletries. One missionary was going to Papua New Guinea and, would you believe, took a refrigerator. I wouldn't fancy lugging that around, particularly on Ryanair. I'm not saying you would go that far, of course, but to go with no resources at all, as Jesus wanted those people to do, because would it seriously hamper your mission? Your mission! Lord, if we have to travel that light, are we going to be effective? But there's more. On your journey, Jesus continues, receive what hospitality you are offered. Whoa, way, hang on, Lord. You can just hear them. Hang on a minute. Just hang on a minute. We're Jews. We only eat kosher food. And we can't just share a table with anyone. It wouldn't be right. Today, you might say, oh, I can't go do that. I've got allergies. Peanuts, wheat, grains, lactose, you name it, I've got allergies. Got to be careful what I eat, otherwise I'll be ill. And some of us have issues. We just can't meet with anybody. We can't mix with them. What if they have a different lifestyle than us? Or they have different priorities? What if the family offers us strange food that we've never seen before? We've never tried before? A couple of weeks ago, I was looking on Facebook and somebody was complaining about a five-star all-inclusive holiday in Spain. They said the place was nice, the hotel was nice, but they didn't have English food. Most of all, they didn't do an English breakfast. What's the point of going if you're not going to try new things, I would say. But but people have that block, don't they? Or you can hear them saying, hang on a minute, Lord. What if the house that we're invited to is, quite frankly, dirty? I couldn't live somewhere like that. Must we eat together? Share your table together? Yes, says Jesus. All share in the one bread. Whether you're naturally comfortable with each other or not. Whether you agree with somebody else's point of view over points of doctrine or not. And that's something that we all have to think about when we come around here and take communion. And on top of that, Lord, on top of all those things, what if somebody, where we're stopping, gets violent? Don't forget, Lord, the last one who can't try to prepare the way for you got his head chopped off. Can't we just leave it to the professionals, the confident evangelists, the 12? Jesus told them no. Rejection, handle it. It's down to us. The mission of the 12, and think about that, that is a symbolic number in biblical terms, was to the people of Israel. Jesus was telling them the mission was now not to the Israelites, but to other people outside of Israel, outside of Judea. Nowadays, in the 21st century, disciples alike have grown, and the mission field is at every nation in the world. 70 in the then known world, if you read Genesis. 10 in Hebrews. 72 if you agree, read the Greek version. But that's not the point. The point is, it's down to us now. Unimportant followers of Jesus. It depends on us and people like us. Most of us won't be knocking on doors or travelling from place to place. But for all of us, all of the time, mission is about how we live our lives. How we radiate the kingdom of Christ wherever we go. And if people receive us, they receive Jesus. If they reject us, they reject Jesus. lambs among wolves, is just about sums it up beautifully. Are we up to it? Are we up to that mission when Jesus calls us? Travelling light, as Jesus instructed those 70 or 72, means leaving things which weigh us down. It's something that I'm sure we're all not particularly that good at. Suitcases hover dangerously close to the limit, you know. You're going on TUI, 22 kilograms, you weigh it very carefully, and you're 23. What do we take out? If it's 25 or 26, it's easy, isn't it? You know, you just dump out a few T-shirts and a pair of trousers and a pair of trainers, and you're home and dry. It's not about holding on to our possessions. Things we think about that we can do without. Ask someone from a different culture to give you an outside view, and you may well be surprised how others view us as Christians. How do we radiate the kingdom? Take consumerism. If we radiate the kingdom freedom, if we give in to the we must have syndrome and allow possessions to take power over us, take individualism. How do we radiate the kingdom community if we insist on going it alone, priding ourselves on our independence, doing it my way? Take our blame culture. How do we radiate the kingdom? Especially forgiveness. If we offload blame onto others or onto God all of the time. Take the rights ethos. How do we radiate kingdom peace if all our energy goes into making sure what we get, what is ours by right? Take the indifference to worldwide need, oppression, slavery. How do we radiate the kingdom of justice if we care nothing about the situation beyond ourselves? What was the purpose of Jesus telling those people as they were going out into the world? What was the purpose of travelling light with very little possessions? It was because people will see what we are carrying and what we want to give away. The kingdom, healing and wholeness, peace, freedom, forgiveness, grace, love, the reward, they return not empty, but full of wonder, of joy, of excitement. Yes, they needed to adjust their priorities and still have a smile on their faces. Are we up to the same job as those 70 or 72 to go out into the world with just ourselves and let people see what the kingdom of God is really like? Amen. The one thing about Jesus sending those people out into the world was that elsewhere he says he was with them all of the time. And when they came back, that was obvious. That was what it was. Fanny Crosby wrote this wonderful hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long." Let's all stand and sing this wonderful, wonderful hymn.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, on the foretaste, on our way divine. Heir of salvation, precious of blood, on the spirit of his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Burst on my side, angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Shortly we'll be having our prayers of intercession. There is one prayer that we've specifically asked that you be aware of and ask for your prayers, and that is for Lorna Samuels. Lorna is now residing in Hope Green care home, and Arnold has specifically asked for your prayers at this time for the family. Let us come to our Lord with our prayers of intercession. Loving God, we know there is a great difference between the world as it is and the world you would want it to be. We bring our prayers for those of your children who are victims of the world's evil. In hope and in trust, we pray for those who are made fun of because they are in some way different, those who feel that everybody else is against them, those who cannot forgive others because of what has been done to them. Help them to find new hope and a new quality of life. We pray for those who are persecuted for their beliefs or their race, for those who are victims of false accusations and untrue stories, those who suffer for the wrongdoing of other people. Help them to find courage and strength to endure We pray for all those whose lives are filled with bitterness and hate, for those who find it difficult to trust another person, for those whose suffering has caused them to lose faith in you. Help them to find new faith and a sense of purpose. We pray for the families of the two boys who were killed at Poynton Station a few nights ago. Be with them that they may find solace in their grieving. We pray for the victims of the floods in Texas, and we pray especially for the town of Kerrsville and the summer camp there, where there are still 24 young girls who were at a Christian camp, who are missing in the flood, in those massive floods. We pray for the people of Ukraine, that they may find respite and find peace with their neighbours. For the people of Gaza and the proposed peace meeting between Gaza and Israel that is being brokered at this moment in time. We pray for all people in the Middle East, that area of the world which has for thousands of years been in turmoil and trouble. We pray that the people there may find peace and be able to trust in you for the future. Loving God, we know that the world is not as you would want it to be. We ask you to use our prayers and to use us to help those who suffer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Does anybody know what's on radio, on BBC One at this moment in time? No, it's not actually. It's 11:30. It's not 11:30 yet. Songs of Praise is on this morning. And where's it coming from? Anybody know? What church? The Way. In Wigan, supposedly the fastest growing church in the United Kingdom. The way that their congregation has expanded is quite astonishing. I have connections with a church in Leeds, a Pentecostal church in Leeds, which started off as a little chapel in the middle of Leeds, which decided that they wanted to move and bought a school ground on a little bit on the outskirts, a bit further out from the town, up from the town centre. They pulled down most of the school and built a brand new church that seats 2,000. And they fill it with no trouble at all. They fill it. They've got the secondary school bit, a four-storey building, which they've converted into the youth work and the outreach program that they operate from the church. What have these churches got that we perhaps don't? Has anybody read the statistics about the Methodist Church? The very recent statistics?
Depressing.
No, they're not depressing. That's the one thing they are not depressing. Which is the fastest growing age group in the Methodist Church?
18 to 25. Male
18 to 25s. There is a massive increase in that age group. Why?
because people go out and react with that age group, and they see what is being offered, that there is something in this guy Jesus. There is something that you can have that makes you full of joy and have faith. And that's what it's all about. It's having faith to go out into the world and show ourselves to the world. To show people what it's like to come to a Christian church. And I don't really care whether it's which church they go to. For me, it doesn't matter. It never has done. And I've been going to church since I was 5 years old, to Sunday school. And it doesn't matter to me. I've been in a number of churches around the country because my job took me around the country, and I always joined the local church. In fact, I've been here now for 40 odd years. It's nearer 50. Now, it doesn't matter. But do we have what these other churches have got? And the answer to that is yes, we do. If we have faith and follow and listen to what Jesus wants us to do, he calls each and every one of us, not necessarily to go to Papua New Guinea or places like that, but it might just be going out of the door and seeing somebody in need and helping them, even if it's only one person. That is doing the work of God. It's not about having all letters after your name, done loads and loads and loads of training at university, at college. It's about listening to what God wants us to do and doing it. Because, as that last hymn said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He will be with us all of the time. We'll close this morning's worship with another hymn about mission and evangelism. Lord, your church on earth is seeking your renewal from above. Teach us all the art of speaking with the accent of your love.
Of air.
Take us, use us, send us to do your great commission wherever you wish. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all as you do his will in this world. Amen.